Has the Romans One worldview led to the rise of today's rampant paganism? We think so.
Burning Man is known as this enormous get together in the middle of the Nevada desert. And Carl keeps saying that it's more than just a party, and oh my, is it ever. It's a symbol of the elevation of man. It's spiritual. It's a party, yes, but there's so much more deeper going on with Burning Man. What he does is he takes a team every year and goes and sets up a camp. It's really brilliant. But they go to reach people, to listen, but also to be a gospel witness for Jesus.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio, the programming founded by Jan Markell and brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, radio hosts Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael speak with Carl Teichrib about a troubling cultural trend in the West, paganism. Just what is Burning Man, and how does it play into the pagan scenario? And how can we as Christians push back against this darkness and reveal the light of Jesus Christ? In the extended version, Pastor Josh and Ken continue the conversation with Carl Teichrib. You won't want to miss it. If you are listening on radio, you can find the extended version ad-free on our website, olivetreeviews.org, or on our YouTube and Rumble channels.
There are many types of paganism, like Hellenism, Asatru, heathenry, Wicca, and more. So it can be really confusing to tell them apart. What makes each of them stand out, and how do they differ? We can broadly classify paganism into five main categories. While all pagan paths fall into at least one of these categories, some can overlap and fall into two, three, or even more. The five categories are Reconstructionist Paganism, Neo-Paganism, Nature and Earth-Centric Paths, Regional and Ethnic Traditions, and Shamanistic Traditions.
Wicca. This is a modern pagan religious movement that emerged in the mid-20th century, drawing inspiration from a variety of ancient pagan traditions, folklore, and ceremonial magic. Druidry. Druidry is a spiritual and religious tradition that finds its roots in the ancient Celtic cultures of Western Europe, particularly in regions like Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and parts of France. The ancient Druids were the learned class among the Celts, serving as priests, poets, judges, and teachers. They were highly respected for their wisdom, knowledge of nature, and spiritual insights. Hellenism. This is a modern revival of the ancient Greek religion, focusing on their rich pantheon of gods and the rituals that honored them. Hellenism, as a contemporary movement, emerged in the late 20th century, driven by a desire to reconnect with the spiritual traditions of ancient Greece.
This is Understanding the Times. I'm Ken Michael, along with my co-host, Pastor Josh Schwartz. So what is paganism? Where did it come from? Does it affect our daily lives? And what should we do as followers of Christ? Well, we're going to find out today from our guest. He's been a frequent guest on our program in the past. He's a teacher and author of Game of Gods. We'd like to welcome back to the program, Carl Teichrib. Carl, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's good to be back.
So, Carl, you have a unique ministry that God's called you to that we're going to talk about here. But first of all, I think our audience should be brought up to date on what's going on in Canada where you live. Tell our audience what's going on inside the government with the current legislation that's being proposed.
As a Canadian, what happens in our national culture impacts us directly. It impacts my family, it impacts churches in the area, it impacts potentially our own church. Probably the one thing that is on everybody's mind is a bill called Bill C-9, which will strip away legal protection for religious texts, the use of religious texts now deemed as hate literature. So let's say you use Romans chapter 1 and you speak out on the moral issues of the day and you use that as your base text to call out, let's say, LGBTQ, the government has the ability to step in and say, well, now you have disengaged in a form of hate speech, a form of hate action, and can take appropriate measures against yourself. It seems at this point that our federal government has a very intentional path. This is not accidental. There is a very intentional path to reframe Canadian thinking away from a Christian background and to bring it into either a form of secularism or even a form of paganism, and actually, realistically, it's both combined. We see that within our politics. It is an area of concern. Canada has been wrestling with hate speech legislation for some time. But when you go down that road, this is where it ends up taking you, where all of a sudden the Bible itself, or sections of the Bible, are considered to be hate literature.
Well, I think from down here in the U.S., we are praying for you guys. And we know that what happens in the more liberal areas of the West is eventually going to come our way. We need to be preparing ourselves for facing exactly the same sorts of laws and statutes.
Yeah, I mean, it already is. And you look at the blue states in our country, they are certainly not only leaning that way, they're trying to pass legislation for the exact same thing. So what happens up there, what we're seeing happening in other countries in Europe, is definitely coming here. Carl, from that clip, define for our audience, what is paganism for those that may not know?
Paganism is a broad umbrella term that covers a lot of usually smaller movements, but all of them have a particular worldview in mind. And that is probably the easiest way of boiling it down. And again, this is very generalized. I mean, but in a very broad way, it is a form of worshiping or venerating nature. It is a religion of nature, where nature has a central place in a particular spiritual worldview. Of course, we think of witchcraft, Druidism, we think of heathenry. These are all branches within that broad umbrella of paganism. It will typically worship a goddess, especially on the Wiccan side. Its focus is on goddess worship. And understanding that the entities that are being venerated more often than not have some type of connection or linkage into elements of nature. And gentlemen, if you go back into ancient Israel, that time period where you see the nations around Israel, whether they're worshiping Moloch or Chemosh, or they're worshiping Ashtaroth or any of the other pagan deities, they almost always have some connecting points back into nature. Gods and goddesses of victory and war and wine and fertility. There's always this combination of the spiritual and the physical coming together. And by worshiping the one, you think that somehow you can make an impact on the other. That, of course, is, again, a very broad way of looking at what paganism is. So in today's context, now we have, of course, witchcraft. As I mentioned before, Wicca, which is a form of witchcraft. You have a variety of expressions of paganism, including Reconstructionism, where you're looking to, how do you now reconstruct, let's say, the Greco-Roman forms of pagan worship? How do you rebuild that, considering that there isn't a lot of hard texts going back to that era saying, here's the do's, here's the don'ts, here's the systems, here's the structures. Ironically, the Bible, when you think about worshiping God, looking at it from even the Pentateuch point of view, you have very specific guidelines for the Jewish people when they're in the temple, what to do, how to worship. And you look back and you see this is both a theological but a historical document giving precise details. You don't find that kind of precision within the pagan world. It becomes more eclectic. It becomes more of a synchronistic mixing of ideas, traditions, even speculations of what it might have been like. And then kind of the postmodern element that comes into it. Well, if it works for you, it doesn't have to be authentic, but does it work for you? And I've heard that said so many times going to pagan events as a Christian researcher. And it's interesting to watch how the pagan community has been wrestling with their own authenticity for a long time, going, where's our lineage? How do we document? How can we find that authentic history, that authentic lineage? And realizing that they are, especially in today's context, a new religious movement. Wicca specifically is a new religious movement, really only emerging, as the video said, back in the mid part of last century. So there's a lot of things here that are going on, but in essence, it's a worldview that says we will worship and venerate creation rather than the creator. It really is, from a Christian point of view, it's a Romans 1 worldview that's now being lived out with certain deities, entities, however you want to define their supernatural representations that they have within nature.
So in essence, it's man's rebellion against God and God allowing them to worship the creation over the creator, something that is more, in our terms, tangible than intangible. I can see this. I can touch this. I'm going to worship this.
Yeah, and then it takes on ritualistic elements. It becomes not just simply a theoretical concept of, I'm going to worship nature. I'm going to have this veneration towards the natural states, but now it takes on various expressions. This is how we do it. Here's the degrees. Here are the ceremonies. There's an action to the belief system, because it is a belief system. And as Christians, we look at this and we go, well, really, it is a form of rebellion. It goes back realistically to Genesis chapter 3, when the essence of our sin, the essence of our disobedience, was that we as creation, Adam and Eve, the human creation, said that we will become as God. We will disobey what God has instructed us, because we find that there's some type of tangible benefit. We will gain wisdom, we will live forever, and we will be as God. But when you break it all down, what happens in Genesis 3 is basically this: creation, us, saying that we are the focal point. It is a sense of now the intention is on us. We will transgress God's law. We will transgress God's word. We transgress God's desire. And now creation can stand there and proudly boast, we are the masters of our own meaning and destiny.
Carl, this is fascinating to think of, because many people will think or say that paganism is on the rise. Many people will say that paganism is a newer form of a religious movement. But as you've broken it down here, paganism is worshiping of the creation rather than the creator. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. So this is just a continual deception of Satan to pull worship away from the one who worship is due, that is God, and towards other created things. Now, is there any truth to this uprising, though, of paganism in our culture here? As you've studied it over the last number of decades, are you seeing this on the rise? Is this becoming more and more acceptable?
No question. And it's on the rise in three specific ways. And I'm going to use the word pagan. So first of all, then this is my own categorization. You have small p paganism, a generalized worldview that's already basically embedded within our education system, our entertainment systems, our way of looking at the world. And that small p paganism, and most people don't even recognize it, is built around this idea that man, nature, and God are all essentially the same. And however that might look, it even lands within the realm of politics. And then we would have, let's say, mid-case paganism. Burning Man, when I go to Burning Man, definitely fits that definition of paganism. It is both bringing a mystical and a secular, materialist and spiritual view together. It's syncretizing all of this. And then there is what I would say is uppercase P paganism, and that is self-proclaimed pagans. That is your Wiccan community, your Druid community, your heathen community. They recognize themselves that. That's their own label. And so they are proudly pagan. And in all three of those cases, I would say we are absolutely seeing an outgrowth of this pagan worldview. We don't even realize how it's slid in to our thinking, all the way to here is where the people stand firm. We will now identify ourselves, let's say, as Wiccan or one of the other movements within the pagan community. An example taken from my book, Game of Gods. This is the statement given in 1992 at the United Nations Rio Earth Summit, okay? By Boutros-Ghali, the UN Secretary General at the time. He is commenting, these are the closing statements in the 1992 Rio Earth Summit, gave us Agenda 21, the Convention on Climate Change, the Convention on Biological Diversity. In other words, it set the international legal framework, or began to set that legal framework for us to put our focus and attention on the Earth in both a legalistic, pragmatic way, but also within the context of just a general worldview. I mean, you can't escape this now. Probably every state in your country, I know every province in my country, will be teaching climate change, will be teaching environmental stewardship that goes beyond, way beyond just conservation. We're past that point. We're now venerating. We're in that process of actually making this political, cultural connection that really lands in the realm of spirituality. So these are the statements made by Boutros-Ghali in 1992. As he's wrapping up the Rio Earth Summit. I should like to conclude by saying that the spirit of Rio must create a new form of good citizenship. After loving his neighbor as the Bible required him to, post-Rio man must also love the world, including the flowers, birds, and trees, every part of that natural environment that we are constantly destroying. Over and above the moral contract with God, over and above the social contract concluded with men, we must now conclude an ethical and political contract with nature, with this earth, to which we owe our very existence, and which gives us life. To the ancients, the Nile was a god to be venerated, as was the Rhine, an infinite source of European myths, or the Amazonian forest, the mother of forests. Throughout the world, nature was the abode of the divinities that gave the forest, the desert, or the mountains a personality which commanded worship and respect. The earth had a soul. To find that soul again, to give it new life, that is the essence of Rio. John, that's pagan politics. So here you have what is supposed to be, this is the first major international event after the Cold War is done. This is now going to set the tone for how the world is supposed to move forward post-Cold War. Remember, this is 1992. And now the purpose is no longer, hey, we've got to create this bulwark against communism. The West has to put up these walls against communism, or the communists putting up walls against the West. No, now the whole world can come together and we have a new unifying problem, a new unifying message. And that is, of course, we have to now serve the Earth. And that's exactly what Boutros Ghali was talking about. We are now in the process of setting up this new contract, a new social contract, really a new spiritual contract with the Earth. And then that ends up percolating into your national, your state, in my case, provincial, and then your municipal city governance. And now we've landed where we are today, where in my country, we pay carbon taxes. I'll fill up my fuel tank and I don't have a choice. I'm paying a carbon tax on my fuel. Well, that stems from a very specific worldview. And that worldview is that we have to now, and I'm going to just use Christian terminology here, we have to pay our tithes and offerings to the...
Well, Carl, we're going to transition here. I want you to take a listen to this clip and we want to get your take.
Burning Man is known as this enormous get together in the middle of the Nevada desert. And Carl keeps saying that it's more than just a party, and oh my, is it ever. It's a symbol of the elevation of man. It's spiritual. It's a party, yes, but there's so much more deeper going on with Burning Man. What he does is he takes a team every year and goes and sets up a camp. It's really brilliant. But they go to reach people, to listen, but also to be a gospel witness for Jesus.
Hey, friends, we've got a plethora of materials on our website. You can check it out at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Underneath the store tab, we've got plenty of resources for you. And also, just so you know, you can catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else that podcasts can be found at Understanding the Times. Carl, Melissa Doherty, in that clip, explains a bit of what you do. Now, you were at the most recent Burning Man. Can you give us a little bit of a taste of what took place there and maybe a couple of stories of how you interacted with different people who are searching for more at Burning Man?
Yeah, Melissa's right. It's not just simply a party. We have focused usually on that side of it. When you take a look at media stories, it's a great big party, or that kind of language is used all the time. And yes, those things happen. Yes, there's camps for all kinds of different alternative lifestyles, experience. It's there. It's all there. I'm not going to deny that. That's for sure. Because it's in your face. And yet at the same time, it's also a place where you have thousands and thousands of people coming because they're seeking out some type of spiritual encounter. They're already anticipating that they're going to have a transformational event. They're anticipating that their world is going to be rocked. They just don't know how it's going to be rocked, but they're looking for something. They're searching. And by the way, there's a lot of lost sheep. A lot. We run into a lot of former Christians who attend the event now who have either gone off into the realm of atheism or some other form of either a paganism or progressivism. They're all there. And it's a big event. I think this last year we had 70,000 people attend. So there's a lot of people. It's a small city. So what happens? The people who attend Burning Man make Burning Man what it is. There's nobody who comes up from the organization point of view and scripts it out. So you have hundreds of theme camps that come and they set up shop. They'll be having workshops and lectures. I was at workshops on artificial intelligence, workshops on major international trends. You have people who are attached to the World Economic Forum and to some of the events at Burning Man with those individuals. And then you have very dedicated spiritual experiences. There are art pieces that have very pagan themes dedicated to certain gods or goddesses. That's there. You run into that all the time. There are temples and shrines and sacred spaces set up. There is a main temple for the city. It's a place where you can go and pour out your grief and pour out your heart. And what's interesting is the last couple of years, that has become a lightning rod of international politics, specifically around the Russian-Ukrainian war. But then even probably in a more hard way, the conflict between Israel and Hamas. And so it was no surprise. There were flags set up to Palestine, angered comments aimed towards Israel, and it became a type of clash between these two positions. And that makes sense because for 1 week in the year, Burning Man now has the world's attention. The world's eyes are on this event. Again, I'll put it this way. It's a city of 70,000 people. Now, on any given day, in any other city of 70,000 people, if somebody passes away, somebody dies, they walk down a street and they keel over dead, it might make your local news, probably not even that. At Burning Man, a person walks over, keels over dead, and it makes international news. And that's literally what happened in 2024. A younger lady literally stopped in the street and she died. And bang, it's in the papers. From Reno to the international press, they're talking about it. This last year, we had a man, a young man, who was unfortunately murdered. He was stabbed to death. And it made international news. Well, if there's a stabbing in your city of 70,000 people, it doesn't make international news. But it does at Burning Man because the world's eyes are on this event for 1 week. It has an international flavor. The world is attending. We had, I think 110 nationalities represented. So it's this melting pot, a mixing of mysticism and materialism, spirituality and secularism, people searching, people seeking, and then people at the same time selling their idea. Not saying it from a consumer point of view, there's no buying or selling, but they're pushing forward an agenda, pushing forward an idea. So that's what's taking place. And it's a raw, raw environment. It's harsh physically, but it's also raw emotionally, spiritually, and sensually, because the place is known for its sensuality. But my goodness, that's where the world is at this point. You don't have to go to Burning Man for that, that's for sure. Just walk down the mall, right? So that's what you're seeing happening at this place. So we set up a little camp. We are in the open camping area. We're not placed like a theme camp would be placed, but we have a couple of spots on a street that we try to go to every year. And we set up a camp, and the camp is called Camp of the Unknown God. And we have a sign called the Camp of the Unknown God, based out of Acts 17. And we use that model that Paul uses as he is going to Athens, spending time in Athens. He, of course, if you read Acts 17, you see that he has already engaged in a type of survey. He's assessed where the city's at. He sees that it's given over to idols. He sees that, oh, you even have an idol to the unknown God just to cover all your bases. And then he uses that as leverage to launch into the gospel, even quoting their own poets, their own philosophers in the process. That's the same kind of approach we're taking. And just the sign alone, gentlemen, raises conversations. So we have had numerous people stopping by going, who is this unknown God? Hello. It's as simple as that. Then you have a conversation. You talk about Acts 17. You can bring the whole gospel into it. We have. Or people will ask you, because it's a common thing on the streets. Hey, you're having a conversation with somebody. Hey, I like your bicycle. I like your costume. Whatever, isn't that a cool art piece? And you'll have this little informal conversation and they'll be going, oh, what camp are you with? Because almost everybody is with a theme camp. And we'll be going, yeah, the Camp of the Unknown God. And then that opens up a conversation. So it's not tough, it's not difficult. And we have found more often than not, people are willing to have a conversation because you have taken the time.
That is fascinating, Carl. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing, because not too many people are out there doing what you're doing. You have a fascinating ministry that God's called you to. Unfortunately, time has gotten away from us. How can people get in touch with you?
Yes, a couple of different ways. You can go to my Substack page, Convergence, Power and Belief, and I have articles and essays that are published there. I've also started a new organization with my friend George Olson, who comes with me to Burning Man and to other events. The organization is a nonprofit group called Orbis Century, O-R-B-I-S, dash century as in the soldier, and we're looking at training Christians to be ambassadors, not for the culture war, but to engage in cultural diplomacy for the cause of Jesus Christ. So those are two ways of connecting with our work.
Well, make sure you check out our extended version as we continue this conversation with Carl. Carl Teichrub, I want to thank you for joining us today. God bless you and what you're doing and your ministry. Thanks.
Thank you.
Contact us at our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. We get our mail when you write to us at Olive Tree Ministries in Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. While we are all weary of the antics of a sin-sick world, it is still a privilege to be born for such a time as this. Everything is lining up, and everything predicted is falling into place.